Some at-risk schools in Michigan could soon get more state funding if they agree to go year-round. In his budget address in February, Governor Snyder called for a state pilot program to encourage year-round schooling in Michigan. School districts could get money to add air conditioning and other upgrades to old buildings so they could operate during the summer. Supporters of the measure say students lose a lot of what they learn during the school year after long breaks. But do these measures actually work, keeping kids in school all year long? Harris Cooper is professor and chair of the Department of Psychology and Neuroscience at Duke University, and he has been going over the data. Hello, Harris.
Hello.
So Michigan is among the states thinking about more year-round schooling. What have you found in terms of year-round schooling effectiveness?
Well, what we did was we looked at the reports of school districts that had compared students who went to school on a year-round calendar with students who went to school on their traditional calendar. And there were about roughly three dozen of those. And when you put them all together, what we discovered was that certainly the year-round calendar has no negative effect on students' achievement. And for students who are poor, maybe struggling in school for different kinds of reasons, there was actually a noticeable positive effect.
And does this have to go to this sort of idea that children who come from families where there is money to, say, pay for summer schooling or tutoring or things like that, and maybe at-risk kids don't have that kind of money during the summer?
That's part of the explanation that people will give. We also find that if you speak with educators, and there isn't a great deal of numbers evidence on this, but anecdotally and experience of teachers and other educators, that especially for kids who have learning disabilities, they may lose more over summer. The different calendar has a more positive effect for them. Also for children who don't speak English at home, where the long summer break may lead them to forget the language of instruction, so that when they come back to school, especially in the youngest grades, as you can imagine, mm-hmm. when they come back to school, they not only have to relearn and remember the material, but they have to refamiliarize themselves with the language of instruction.
And is that something that you found through your research, this so-called summer slide, I think is sometimes what it's called, that sometimes it can take weeks and weeks for students just to relearn what they learned the year before and then sort of forgot over the summer?
Yes, the summer slide is real. It's especially true in math, and all children, whether they're poor or middle class, are susceptible to losing math knowledge over summer. When it comes to reading, there is a difference, though, where middle-class kids tend to hold their own, but poorer children tend to lose some of their reading skills over summer as well.
And is this a new phenomenon, or is this something that we've seen? Do we know? I mean, you know, does this have to do with maybe more screen time, as people call it, less outdoors time? Is this something that we saw, say, in the 50s and 60s, or is this relatively new?
Going back to the 50s is a little bit before you'll find any research on this, but
okay.
We certainly can say that it's been true for the last 30 years or so. I think the studies that we looked at were conducted over the last 30 years. And obviously for those, the availability of the video games and Facebook, et cetera, was not always there. So we can't blame this one on the new media.
Right. Why do you think there is this trend? And is there a trend towards looking at year-round schools? Is there something right now in our culture, the way people think about education, that's sort of pushing this to the forefront of new educational ideas?
There's a couple of things. One deals with the outmodedness of the school calendar that we use now. It was developed at a time when most people in the United States worked in agriculture, so there had to be some accommodation for children who were needed on the family farm. And the calendar that we have now really is a compromise between rural communities and urban communities about how to send kids to school. About 100 years ago, if we looked at school calendars, we would find that it wasn't unusual for kids in urban areas to go to school for a very long time, maybe even 10 or 11 months. And in rural rural communities, it wouldn't be surprising to find calendars where kids got off in May or June, went back to school, and then got off in August and September so they could help with planting and harvesting. The calendar we have now is a compromise, and it really, the long summer break, other than for traditional reasons, the long summer break doesn't really fit with the way most Americans live.
Right. And we should be clear, at least here in Michigan, when we talk about year-round schooling, really what we're talking about is not any more days or hours necessarily in school, but sort of moving breaks throughout the year, right? So it's not that you're looking at sort of an apples to oranges comparison that kids were in school more and thus doing better.
That's correct. In fact, all of the studies that we looked at held constant the number of days, about 180, that kids were in school, whether it was with a traditional calendar or with a year-round calendar. And people who are advocates of year-round education sort of cringe at the term because it gives the sense that your kid is going to be in school all the time and you'll have to come to the schoolyard gate and pass them their peanut butter and jelly sandwich through the gate because you're never going to see them. In fact, the number of days in the calendar are the same. At the moment, we have a summer break that lasts 10 to 12 weeks. And what the year-round calendars do, we use the term modified school calendar to get around that confusion. What it does is it puts kids either into 9 weeks on and 3 weeks off, repeated four times. Sometimes it's 60 days or 12 weeks on and 4 weeks off. But what it does is it breaks up the long summer vacation into multiple shorter vacations.
Now, what about negatives? I mean, what we're seeing here in Michigan is a pretty bipartisan effort to put money into these sort of pilot programs. But are there consequences, maybe any cons to year-round schooling that we haven't quite thought about?
Well, one concern, obviously, is the traditional use of the summer for families to be together for summer camp, especially because the weather is nice to make sure kids get outdoor activities, learn skills that you don't typically learn in school. That's a big part of it. A big part of it is tradition. There's also skepticism about what the true impact of it is. There are concerns about cost, how much extra cost there might be. Like, for example, you said Michigan is thinking about air conditioning buildings and how much that might require for capital improvements. So those are the big issues that the opponents will bring up.
So in the last 90 seconds or so that we have, when you look at this idea of year-round schooling, let's look 10, 20 years in the future. Do you think that this trend will sort of become the majority? I mean, do you see more and more school districts across the country moving towards year-round schooling?
I think that more schools are going to look at it. There are quite a few who do already. And many of them do for economic reasons because they do need to keep the buildings open and schedule their kids in and out of vacations at different times. If we don't continue to invest in the infrastructure of education, that's going to be a force for changing the calendar. But the largest force is the way our calendar and our school day are really out of whack with the way most Americans live today. And eventually that's going to catch up with folks, and they're sort of going to say, why do we all have to go on vacation at the same time when both parents work outside the home? Vacation time for parents is more flexible, and maybe we'll get a better deal and less of crowds in Disneyland and Universal Studios if we can go in October and November instead of everybody being there in July.
Well, that's reason those enough kinds then, of, right?
That would be it. That's a big deal. And, you know, you think about fall vacations in New England. So all those things open up. But I think the key to the future is people looking at the way they live today and whether or not the current school calendar fits their needs and what's best for their kids. And I think the future will then suggest that modifications to both the calendar and the day are on the horizon.
Interesting. Harris Cooper is professor and chair of the Department of Psychology and Neuroscience at Duke University. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.